always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
What started out with a conversation about gas and groceries 3 years ago really has evolved into a fuller conversation about the following facts. Mortgage rates have tripled under Joe Biden. Mortgage payments have doubled over Joe Biden. Rent has gone up roughly 20%. Car insurance up 46%. Home insurance up 38%. When you start to add up all these little monthly and quarterly and annual bills, they're eating away at whatever wage growth that you've been able to realize.
And that, folks, is Bidenomics. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. It is Friday. It is June the 14th, 2024. Thanks for joining us here on the program as we head into another hot time summer in the city weekend here in the Heartland. Happy Father's Day to all the great dads and granddads and father figures out there. Hope you have a great and safe weekend. It's going to get a little hot this weekend. Make sure you drink lots of water. Stay in the shade. It's great to be outside having a good time here in the summertime, but just make sure you take care, especially those of you with elderly loved ones. Make sure you check on them and keep the pets indoors. There's your public service announcements for this afternoon, Chris.
And I want to offer a public service announcement as well to all of those campaign workers that are out this weekend and the weekends to come, knocking on doors, passing out literature. Make sure you have your sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have plenty of water. Beck and I will be walking in a parade tomorrow in DeSoto, I think.
Be careful out there. Yeah, so, have a good time.
So you know. It's going to be hot.
Yes, it will indeed. Big headlines this afternoon. Supreme Court of the United States struck down the federal bump stock ban. We talked about that in the first hour. Judge blocks Biden's Title IX changes. Democrats went nuts after Trump visited Capitol Hill this week. Biden snapped at a reporter for refusing to, quote, Chris, play by the rules. What are those rules reporters are supposed to play by?
I watched that press conference. Mm-hmm. He was upset because he was having a dual press conference with Zelensky, and he wanted the topics on what they were talking about in that particular subject, and the reporter asked him about something else, and he got a little ticked off about that, said, you're not following the rules, you're not supposed to talk about other things. He said, I will discuss this with you later, told that reporter.
So Biden hates the free press. There you go. There's the headline out of that.
No, he wants his press conferences scripted.
Yes, exactly. Israel reportedly takes out a number two leader at Hezbollah in an airstrike. That's happy news indeed. There's some happy news, finally, on the international front. Speaker stump speech here in just a moment. Chris, at 5:25, we're going to speak to Patrick Toohey, one of our favorite fellows over at, and he is a fellow at the show. He's a jolly good fellow over at the Show Me Institute, senior fellow there. He has doubts about a study on the economic impact of the new MLS soccer team. Is Patrick Toohey just a soccer hater, or does he have some data to back up his claims? And an update on the border war on the Western Front there. It's frequently pops up every decade or so. It's once again the subject matter of this border war is a pretty big kahuna. It's where the Chiefs and the Royals are going to continue to be playing ball. That will be very interesting discussion indeed at 5:25. At 5:45, producer Joey here would like to discuss a film in theaters today called Tuesday, starring Elaine. That's what's her name? Dreyfus?
That's what I put it. I just a lane on there to see if you could remember. Yeah, Julia Louise Dreyfus,
right? Mm-hmm. Hanging out with the Grim Reaper, as portrayed, as Chris teased in the last segment, by a giant talking parrot.
And this isn't a kid's film. This is for adults. It's an adult fairy tale, magical realism. She talks to a parrot in this movie, and the animation is very realistic. It's incredible.
Sounds bizarre indeed. So we'll definitely talk about that at 5:45, in addition to preparing you for the daily version. Yes, the daily dose of Larry Connors USA. Larry, of course, follows the Jones and Arp Show every day, Monday through Friday at 6:05. We've got a great couple of events coming up. You've been hearing about them all day. I heard everybody talking about these. events on all the other programs, so we better as well. Chris, we've got the Saving America event, The Economy and the Courts, featuring Joel Griffith and Zach Smith, two great guys of the Heritage Foundation. They are flying in specifically for this event, so please come out and see the fellas. They'd love to see you on June 25th, Tuesday, June 25th, St. Charles Funny Bone, sponsored by West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, and the St. Louis Young Republicans. Tickets are free, but you have to snag one. They're easy. NewstalkSTL.com. You can get, I believe, up to four tickets at a tranche. And we'd love to see you there. The space is limited at the Funny Bone, so don't wait till the last minute. Book these tickets today. Chris and I will both be there at this event, along with many of the other personalities and producers here at Newstalk STL. Chris, I'm really looking forward to that because we've gotten to interview Zach now for what? I don't know, almost three years. We've interviewed Joel Griffith several times as well. These are great guys who you can throw any question you want at, and they're going to give you a solid answer.
Yeah, and as we saw in our event last year, it's very informative, and people that you hear weekly on our radio station, or you're able to see them in person, talk to them on person. These events do very, very well. And as Tim said, make sure that you do get your tickets. It is free, but it will sell out just like it did last time. Luckily, at the venue we were last year, we were able to find some extra space. As you know, Tim, I don't know if we can find some extra space there in the Funny Bone. Mm-hmm. So don't be left out. Don't be looking sad the next day when people are talking about what a great event it was and you procrastinated.
And this will be a listener, inspired event because we're going to take your questions. So when you get there, we're going to give you the opportunity for you to fill out questions and we'll review them and make sure we aren't asking the same question over and over again, but you'll be able to participate in this event. So this will be a very active event. We will speak with you and hang out with you beforehand. We'll hang out with you afterwards. And I think Larry Connors is going to open up his tab next door at Napoli 3. I think that's the plan. If Larry's listening, he can verify that for us. So there you have it.
I wonder if he gets a little seafood involved with that too, since he's paying for everything.
That's right, at Napoli C, which is also right next door. So Streets of St. Charles is at, come for the venue, if nothing else, but you're going to come for more. You're going to come for the speakers, Chris and I and Joey and the whole gang. So we got some great stuff coming up. We also have a debate watch party. We'll tell you about that a little bit later in the program. That's 2 days later at Johnny's Hideout. All information, NewstalkSTL.com. You can get everything you need at NewstalkSTL.com. All right, without further ado, let's talk about how Democrats didn't used to be so dysfunctional.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So listener Joey Balls, hit me up on Twitter just now and said, can someone explain to me Bidenomics? I feel like it's just spending as much money as possible and not worrying about the consequences. Yes, listener Joey B, you just hit the nail on the head. That's the long and short of Bidenomics. And Democrats have done this time and time again, generation after generation, but there was a time in the distant past where they actually admitted this doesn't work. Now, that didn't stop them from trying to do it over and over and over again in the succeeding generations. But way back in the 1930s, 40s, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as Archie Bunker used to say, was president, he had a Treasury secretary by the name of Henry Morgenthau Jr. And after the massive spending of the New Deal, Morgenthau made the statement that I'm going to read to you. Now, many Keynesian economists and left-leaning historians have written over the years, attempted to be persuasive in their argument that it was FDR's New Deal that lifted us out of the Depression. The contrary could not be further from the truth. What lifted us out of the Great Depression was, of course, World War II. We got our economic engines going as we built the military-industrial war complex. And at that time, it was a useful way to spend that money and to get the economy going because we were fighting literally the axis of evil at that time. And we might all be speaking German if we hadn't done so. So, Henry Morgenthau, I'm assuming he's a Democrat or a center-left-leaning guy. Otherwise, FDR wouldn't have had him as his Treasury Secretary. He was part and parcel of the administration, as all cabinet secretaries are. Here's what he said about all of the spending of the New Deal that FDR and his administration did at the time. This is a direct quote. "We have tried spending money. We are spending more than we have ever spent before, and it does not work." A little aside here, folks. Doesn't that echo down through the present day and apply directly to the Biden administration? Back to the quote. "And I have just one interest. And if I am wrong, somebody else can have my job. I want to see this country prosperous. I want to see people get a job. I want to see people get enough to eat. We have never made good on our promises. I say after 8 years of this administration, we have just as much unemployment as when we started and an enormous debt to boot." Henry Morgenthau Jr., Treasury Secretary to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That, my friends, was an honest Democrat back at the time, admitting the economic fallacies of printing and spending so much money and doing nothing to help out the private sector, but juicing the crap out of the public sector. The New Deal was all about growing government, thinking that government could have a centralized economy, that government could run the nation. It proved to be an epic and utter disaster, and the only thing they had to show for it at the end of all that was, as Morgenthau said, an enormous debt to boot. Now, that enormous debt that they considered back then would look like pocket change by today's standards. But compared to the GDP and the per capita incomes and the revenues and the expenditure of the country, it was pretty enormous at that time. Luckily, we were able to dig ourselves out of that. Unfortunately, it was because of a world war. I'm not wishing for a world war today. I'm just wishing for some sanity, for some fiscal sanity. You can't spend trillions of dollars, flood the system with printed and borrowed money, and expect anything other than what happened to us now in the present day and age. Massive amounts of inflation compounded over several years that have us now all scratching their heads. Look, we here are very blessed in that we are fully employed at this great radio station. Chris and I do lots of other political consulting and government affairs work as well. But we're not immune from the trials and travails of being a middle-class American. We're able to spend money and pay for these things, but I am shocked by how much things cost. I went in for some simple service today on one of my vehicles, and every time you walk out of there, you're spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on things that used to be hundreds of dollars less. Grocery store, gas stations, everything seems like it costs an exorbitant amount more money because it does. There, I read you the exhaustive list yesterday of about 75 to 80 items. The minimum compounded extra cost, 20%. The maximum, 65 to 70%. This is crushing on the middle class, and it sure seems like that's exactly what Joe Biden and his dysfunctional D.C. Democrats wanted to do. How about looking at a Democrat from old that finally realized this was all such an epic disaster? We are spending more than we have ever spent before, and it does not work. And that's the Speaker's stump speech for today.
You know, and a lot of that inflation is caused by supply chain problems, of course, Tim. I remember during the pandemic, you had an instance where your vehicle was in need of a part, and it sat on a ship out in the channel somewhere for months. That still hasn't been abated. It has cleared up some, but you still have that in the system. And then you have what happened at the bridge in Baltimore, which is a major shipping channel. I think that is the largest shipping port for vehicles that come from Japan, I think it is. So that's also going to have an impact on the supply chain as well. So even though the Democrats and the Biden administration can wish for good economic news, the fundamentals are just aren't there for it in the economy, and we're still suffering from the effects of the pandemic.
And Chris, I heard an economist earlier this week on one of our other programs, and we've talked about the same subject matter. These unemployment numbers are very illusory. They don't tell the whole story, because as low as the unemployment numbers are, the labor participation rate is also extremely low. And Chris, they're counting, the White House and the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they're counting part-time jobs as employed jobs. Yeah. So if you have a job that you work full time and then you do two part time jobs, they're counting you as three people, mm-hmm. basically. They're counting that as three jobs when that's not really, that therefore defies the idea that unemployment is an all time low. People are having to work multiple jobs to earn the same money that they used to earn a few years ago by just working one job.
And people that have strictly given up looking for work, they're no longer counting in those statistics. So that makes the numbers artificially low as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fragile economy. It's not stable at all. It has a lot of systemic problems that we speak with our famed economists like Joel Griffith and Dr. Aaron Hedlund about every week. We're going to talk to another famous fella. We're going to talk to Patrick Tuohy next. He is senior fellow at the Show Me Institute. He's got a couple studies that he wants to comment on. One of those is the economic impact of the new Major League soccer team here in St. Louis, and an update on the big border war between the Show Me State and the dreaded Jayhawkers regarding the Chiefs and the Royals. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back. It's been a jam-packed Friday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. More straight ahead on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. This is 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Everything from hotels to restaurants to bars are going to experience that positive impact that having St. Louis City SC downtown will bring. Now, while we don't have an exact number of that economic impact just yet, people believe it will be millions of dollars. Brian Hall is the chief marketing officer for Explore St. Louis. He says even before the team plays their first game at City Park, they're already catalyzing tons of excitement and development in the area. Hall added, even the location of City Park is helping the city because it's in a part of downtown that's been vacant for quite some time.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Happy Friday, all y'all. It's Friday, June the 14th, 5:26 in the p.m. We're going to speak with Patrick too in just a second. Now, Joey, was that a new segment that just aired recently on local?
That was a flashback segment.
That was a flashback
segment. March 2023 about, oh man, everyone's excited about all the economic impact this soccer team's going to have. And now there's, I think, a new study out saying, yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's great to have these things, but let's be honest about their impact. Chris, we're going to speak with our next guest, Patrick Tuohy, about the real impact of that or not. Let's bring him in next. Patrick.
And now a man who comes alive when there's bad public policy in Missouri, Patrick Tuohy.
Yes, he will show us the way here. Patrick Tuohy, senior fellow at the Show Me Institute. You have a theme now, Patrick. You've hit the big time.
Okay. I love it. I love the bumper.
Mm-hmm. Very good indeed. ShowMeInstitute.org. So, Patrick, we hear this all the time. City leaders seem to, city, state, regional leaders seem to always feel they have to justify. Instead of just saying, hey, wouldn't it be great to have a sporting team here? They're like, yeah, because it's going to do this and it's going to, it always is always portrayed as like some kind of silver bullet or magic elixir. Has it been for the city of St. Louis with the city soccer franchise?
So the short answer is we don't know. City SC sponsored a study. They talked about it on KMOV, but they have not released the survey, the study, I should say. I've asked them explicitly for it. They say they're waiting for the right time, but they haven't released it yet. And I suspect that it's because they know that skeptics or anyone really will look into it and find that there's not much there, that it's flawed in the same ways that lots of other studies are. But again, I don't know. The study was conducted by PGAV planners, which has no economists on staff. I looked up their webpage.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they have economic developers on staff. I don't know what that means. I don't know where you go to get a degree in economic development, but there are no economists on staff. So I can only guess, but based on years of reading economic impact studies, I have a good idea of how they go about it to claim those numbers, but I'm just guessing until they actually share with us the study. And I have to say, most news outlets did not run this. KMOV did. I presume that they did not actually read the study themselves, but the interview they did with the CEO, Kimball, was very positive, very fawning, and just no tough questions or really questions at all. So we kind of don't know what the study says, but, you know, based on my background or based on my studies in the past, I can guess as to what they've done.
Patrick, give us a little inside baseball on studies like this. What exactly factors do they use to determine economic impact? Like how many, you know, this much money is going to come from here, this much money there. Yeah. What are the factors involved to determine this and how accurate are they historically?
So first of all, let me prepare you and your listeners, because what I'm about to tell you, you are going to say that can't possibly be it because that is absurd. But in very many studies, this is what they do. So they look at the footprint of the hotel or the entertainment district, or in this case, the stadium. And they say, before this thing was built, there was $0, zero taxes, zero jobs here. Now we have built this thing and there are this many jobs and this much money spent here at this particular location. And so therefore that is the economic impact. They might also look around at economic activity, in the blocks around them and say, this is what's being spent. And they may claim all of the spending to be a result of their action. They may just claim the increase over time as a result of the action, the construction. But importantly, and again, I had to be convinced of this when I started looking into these studies, they do not count the decrease in spending elsewhere. So before this park was built, people may have done all sorts of things with their entertainment dollars. They may have gone to dinner, see a movie, take the family boating or bowling or who knows what. But now that there is a soccer park in town, they choose to go there. They change their behavior. They don't spend twice as much. And so what's really happening is if you plop a stadium downtown, you can say, well, people are spending their disposable income here as opposed to wherever else, but they're not spending more. And these economic impact studies seem to go out of their way to give the impression that there is more economic activity than there would have been otherwise. And that is just wrong. And again, we all understand this in our day-to-day lives. We may go to a new grocery store, but we don't also go to the old grocery store. Just because there's a new park in town doesn't mean our entertainment budget has gone up. It just means we have one more choice. And it's frustrating because, as we've talked about before, it plays on what people want to believe about their sports teams. You and I drive down the street. We see a park that wasn't there before. We see people lined up outside to get in. We see a game being played. We see people at restaurants and bars afterwards. And we think, oh, this is new economic activity, but it's not a net gain for the region.
And Patrick, don't you have to factor in these challenging economic times, right? We've been under this economic stress and strain of inflation for years now. And so, you know, the luxuries of going on bigger vacations, more going into more sporting events, having more discretionary income versus less, which is likely what most people have had, is got to be a concern too, right?
Certainly, if you were the place that people used to go, whether it's, again, restaurants or bowling or some other entertainment, the movies, not only are you being squeezed because people's entertainment dollar doesn't go as far, but you're now being competed against by a new choice that they have. And what must be horribly frustrating for you is you know that that new choice isn't paying taxes. Right. And in fact, to the degree that a ballpark requires public safety spending, infrastructure spending, all sorts of stuff, your tax dollars are going to more and different things rather than the things that, that you need. So it's sort of like we're shifting the expense onto the small businesses that have always had to pay taxes to benefit the big business that, that gets special deals.
Mm. Patrick, when you talk about sports teams and stadiums and everything, how can you measure, and I know intangibles are something that you can't measure, but can you factor in things such as, okay, we have a new team, a new stadium, this is a goodwill and it gives a better perception of our city. You know, St. Louis has lost two football teams. We've lost the Atlanta Hawks. You know, the Hawks played here at one time. A lot of Fortune 500 companies have left St. Louis over the last 40 years. Can you factor in such things as a better perception of your city by having a Major League Soccer franchise and brand new stadium?
Okay, that is a absolutely fair question. And the economists that have looked into it, and I'll talk about how they've looked into it, but the economists that have looked into it have found that there doesn't seem to be a benefit. Now, there may be pride, and that is worth something. But when you either get into people's economic choices, or when they answer you in public opinion surveys, or when you look at how they vote on stadium deals, whatever that pride is worth to them isn't enough for them to change their spending behaviors or change their voting behavior. So again, I get that it may be something, but it's not as big as the amount of money we're spending to get it. How's that? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, and we hear this in Kansas City a lot, you know, oh, we host this game or we host the NFL draft, and it gets us maybe newspaper mentions, media mentions, but nobody is moving here because we hosted the NFL draft, right? Nobody is picking up their family from Kansas or Missouri or from LA or New York and saying, gosh, Kansas City hosted the NFL draft, let's go pick up and move our family or our business there. Ultimately, those decisions are based on, you know, public safety, infrastructure, taxes. Sometimes it's based on climate, and you're really screwed when that's the choice because you can't really affect a change in your climate. And ultimately, and I've talked about this with you guys before, ultimately, something like a team or a hotel or an entertainment district is a lagging indicator of a healthy economy. And I don't live in St. Louis, but I think your listeners will understand when I say St. Louis is not doing poorly because teams have left. Teams have left because St. Louis is doing poorly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis mm-hmm. is doing poorly because the government isn't doing the very basic functions required of government, mm-hmm. which is delivering services, protecting public safety, and doing so in a cost-efficient way. That's mm-hmm. really it. Those are tough things to do. If you're a mayor or a member of the city council or the board of aldermen, it is easier to spend your time building things or luring Walmarts and Amazons. But the tough work, the unsexy work of protecting your population and bringing people in, that is really difficult to do. And sometimes people just don't want to put in the effort. I get it. It's tough.
Speaking to Patrick Tuohy, senior fellow at the Show Me Institute, showmeinstitute.org. You can follow Patrick on Twitter X at Patrick Tuohy. Patrick, let's talk about the sporting world, government, and taxpayers on your side of the state, on the other side of the Show-Me State. There's another border war, and it's going to be definitely heating up between Missouri and Kansas over the future location of the Chiefs and the Royals. How about an update on that, Patrick? What's going on? What have you heard? What do you know?
So, I never know anything, but I can tell you what I've heard. The Kansas legislature was called into special session by the governor to talk about cutting taxes. It appears that they have already reached an agreement. The Republican leadership of the legislature has reached an agreement with the Democratic governor on what that's going to look like. Next up, they are trying to figure out a way that they can issue star bonds, which are sales tax and revenue bonds, to lure the Kansas City Chiefs and Royals to the Kansas side of state line. Now, unlike Missouri, where a lot of economic development subsidies are offered by municipalities, in Kansas, their big offer is a state project. And what it does is a municipality can offer these state bonds, and the state bonds are paid down by the revenue generated at the property.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got the Legends, they've got the Speedway out there. And so the problem with the Chiefs and Royals proposal is I think there's only $1.1 billion worth of star bonds that have been issued in the history of star bonds in Kansas. Yet these stadia will require $2.5 to $3 billion. You're not going to generate enough sales tax at the stadia to pay down the bonds. And so you've got the mayor of Wyandotte right across the state line from me saying maybe we're going to introduce an earnings tax to help pay for these bonds. I suspect, and by the way, let me say that I'm very gratified, very proud of the Missouri State Legislature and Missouri's governor and even Jackson County Legislature, where I live, of not overreacting to what Kansas is doing. I think Kansas will probably pass out of the legislature some sort of star bond thing, but ultimately I think their mechanism for subsidizing stadia just isn't going to be enough to lure the Chiefs and the Royals. And the Chiefs and the Royals are happy to be courted, right?
Mm-hmm,
somebody invites
mm-hmm.
you out for lunch and says, we're going to give you a sack of money.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to go.
Absolutely.
But I am not worried that the Royals and Chiefs are going to leave Missouri.
Patrick, in the immortal words of Jen Psaki, I want to circle back to this KMOV story with the soccer stadium. So
yeah.
What's next? I mean, KMOV seems to be giving you guys the runaround. You're just going to let it go and say we'll get to you next time? Or what's the next steps here?
So KMOV doesn't have the study. So they're not giving us the runaround. I don't think they should have run the story because they didn't see the report either.
Okay.
But City SC isn't giving us the report. And so at some point they will release it. Again, my suspicion is that it will be as bad as every other similar economic development story is. I don't know why they would issue the or claim to have this economic impact study, because it seems like if you read the room in Missouri, it's not the time to be talking about stadium subsidies. You know, DeWitt kind of learned that when the Riverfront Times broke the story about maybe Busch Stadium looking for money.
Mm-hmm.
He backtracked. Why City SC would run out with this report and then decide not to release it, I don't understand. You'd think they would have kept their powder dry completely until a more appropriate time, but I'm sure at some point in the future they will release it. And I'm confident that it will be as unimpressive as every other study.
Interesting indeed. Patrick, before we let you go, anything that you're working on or have published or any reports or interesting information at showmeinstitute.org that we should direct our listeners to?
Well, absolutely check out the website. We've run great stuff recently, not only about stadium subsidies, but about kind of food trucks and our thoughts on the opportunities the legislature missed in this past section. Somebody just sent me a story about a St. Louis zoo that has issued an economic impact study.
Mm.
And the study was conducted by a company that actually has economists on staff. So I am very happy to see that. I hope that the study is substantive, but I'm kind of looking at it right now. You know, my fear is always that it's going to be as bad as everything else I've seen. But, ever the optimist, I hope there's actually something there.
Mm-hmm. Very good indeed. Patrick Toohey, senior fellow at the Show Me Institute. Patrick, thanks so much for all the interesting information about the governmental, sports, and political world. We'll stay tuned on all this, and we'll definitely speak with you soon for an update.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Patrick, are you a father?
I am.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
I didn't know.
Thank you
for sure there.
Yes, very good indeed. All right, Patrick, have a great weekend. We'll talk to him soon. And Chris, just like that, it's 5:44, almost 5:45 in the p.m. as we head into a holiday weekend. Not a three-day holiday weekend, but a holiday weekend nevertheless, as Chris just mentioned. It is Father's Day weekend. When we come back, we're going to find out what's on Larry Connors USA. We'll find out what's in the remaining stack of stuff of Chris Arps for the week. And Joey's got an interesting movie to tell us all about.
And I just thought of something. You two birthdays are on the same, May 25th. Mine is May 30th.
Yes.
I think we all got movie gift cards from the station for...
I did.
Hey, maybe we should all go to the movies
together.
To
see the giant talking parrot together.
We got the ladies. Boys night out.
Boys night out. Hubba, hubba. Very good. Joey's going to tell us about an interesting flick, and we're going to have lots more discussion regarding that and more when we return on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show Friday edition here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
If we don't vote, how are we going to ask for something next time? If you ain't got no voting power, you talking about reparations. Ain't nobody finna give you no reparations and you don't vote? Oh, well, you think they finna give us some money? No, how, man. I hope they do. They owe us. I go down there.
5:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And Joey, I know you have worked with a lot of African Americans in radio and the like, and kind of know the lingo. Do you know what finna means?
Oh yeah, Keith Antone. Me and him worked together. He's everyone's favorite Democrat, and he told me finna means I am about to.
You gotta. It's gotta be about smooth as finna.
Finna.
I'm finna.
You can work it any way you want. I'm finna. That's also similar.
Yeah. And them. Mom and them.
Yeah.
Hey, before we talk about the movie, I want to get serious here for just a second. I was going to mention it yesterday. Howard Fineman, the great journalist, passed away yesterday from pancreatic cancer. Those of that you are true political junkies, remember Howard Fineman. He was a longtime Newsweek reporter. He ended his career with the Huffington Post, and he was a staple on all of the Sunday talk shows. You always saw him, and I remember when I really, really started following politics in the 80s, he was one of the people that was always there, and I was a little shocked. I know I hadn't seen him on TV in a long time. Didn't know he had been suffering from pancreatic cancer. But Howard Fineman passed yesterday. And some other news today, sad news. Tammy Holland, who was a longtime radio broadcaster in the African American community, she had a very popular morning show with Tony Scott on Magic 108 back in the day, went to other stations. A friend of mine shared a video that she had placed on her Facebook page announcing that she was entering hospice. She had breast cancer a few years ago. It was in remission. Apparently it has come back, and it has traveled to her brain. She said that she didn't want to go through the treatment, where they were talking about the possibility that she could be blind and other things, that she would rather go out on her own terms. So very sad news. Those of us in the African-American urban radio community know Tammy Holland well. She's about my age. She has a 16-year-old daughter. And so my heart goes out to her and to her family. And those who know Tammy Holland, she has a very good sense of humor, very lighthearted, and devastating news like this. But she is addressing it with her usual sense of humor, and she's making jokes and videos and everything. So, Tammy Holland, I appreciate everything you did listening to you over the years, and I wish you and your family all of the best. All right, we've got all those unpleasantries out the way. It is Father's Day weekend, a holiday weekend, a good day to take Dad out to the movies, and our executive producer here has what he says is a good one. I looked up some of the reviews of this movie. Joy, do I need to take tissues?
Oh, of course. It's about death and dying, actually. I mean, Tuesday is the name of the film. It stars Elaine from Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's a mother of a daughter with a terminal illness, and then one day they're visited by the Grim Reaper, as portrayed by a talking macaw.
Interesting.
And they
like
beg
from
him.
Rio.
Yeah, I know. They beg him not to take her. So it's an adult fairy tale of, you know, magical realism is in there. It's about accepting death and the loss of a loved one. And the animation of this macaw is actually incredibly realistic. It stuck with me well after the film. Just, you know, them talking about death and accepting your child is going to be gone. And it's the whole reason you live your life is to raise your child. And you lose them too early. But it's probably the most dramatic film that Elaine from Seinfeld has ever done.
Yeah, it's surprising to hear her something
so
dramatic.
So a very serious role for her. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Mm. And a bit of a spoiler, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus has to take up some of the roles of death. Mm-hmm. So she's got to go, you know, tap people on the head and take them with her. And I think that if she came into my room and said it's time to go, I'd probably say sure.
you would put up with it.
Yeah, I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus. If she wanted to hang out for eternity or whatever it is,
you're good with that.
I'd be up for that. A big red parrot, though. I don't know if I want to hang out with him.
So she pulled it off, a dramatic role like this. Has she ever done dramatic roles before? Because
she's been doing dramedies lately that are a little funny, but this one is just straightforward. And the visuals are super wild and weird sometimes. I mean, this parrot can shrink and then get as big as a room. It hides in a girl's ear and whispers secrets to her.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Joy, if this movie came out later in the year, could it be up for some awards? Could Julia Dreyfus have been up for some awards in this movie for her performance?
I think they will put it forward. It's a little slow pace, so I don't know if you want to take Dad, but if they edited it down to like 88 minutes, oh man, it'd be perfect. It's about an hour and 40, though.
Hey, Joey, can I ask you about a movie? Some movies, the way you describe them, make me think of other movies. And do you remember a movie named The Fountain from 2006? It was a kind of cult classic.
I didn't see it, but yeah.
Hugh Jackman. He plays three different characters with three different it's kind of an ethereal film, you know? It's all about mortality and immortality and death and dying. He's trying to rescue his wife from cancer and all that, so.
Yeah, it's one that didn't catch on, but people thought it was, like, weird, but worth a watch.
Very weird.
Now that you're bringing it up.
Very weird, but very good.
Larry Connors, USA is up next. He's going to speak with our old friend Dakota Woods on why Hamas will never accept peace. John Henderson from the Range St. Louis, he'll talk about the SCOTUS ruling on bump stocks. And Hunter Biden not getting Father of the Year award on Father's Day. That's up next on Larry Connors USA from 6 to 8. Thank you for listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe and have a great weekend and happy Father's Day.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.